This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a crisis over submarines and our relationship with France, and there's one of a different sort brewing on the border thanks to a lot of Haitian refugees who are being flown back and rounded up on buses. But what a mess in one particular border crossing in the state of Texas. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, what's happening in your world? I hope all is safe and secure wherever you hail from, whatever nook or cranny or perhaps giant canyon. It's interesting to see what's happened in the fallout of this submarine deal. And I think a lot of people didn't understand what was it about in the first place. It was confusing, right? It's very simple. What's up on the line was a contract worth at least $60 billion. So France wanted that $60 billion contract that they thought they were getting. But instead, Australia thought that the French-built diesel-electric submarines would be obsolete. By the time you deliver those subs to us, that's no good for us. So they wanted to seek a fleet of quieter nuclear-powered subs based on American and British designs that could, patrol areas of the South China Sea with less risk of detention. So there was no real diplomacy with this. There had been this deal that was out there, and then all of a sudden, it's done. The deal instead is between Australia, England, and the United States. So who loses in this? The French say they lose big time. And it was the first time in the history of our alliance with France, going all the way back to 1778, that Paris actually recalled an ambassador, said, get out of there. So there's a lot of scuttlebutt over this, because the French want their defense contract back worth $60 billion, and they're not going to get it, because instead there was this secretly negotiated plan to build a bigger, badder nuclear sub that now China, of course, is aware of, that's going to be there patrolling. And that's the U.S. and Australia negotiating that plan, and the Brits throwing in on it too as well. So I don't know how that's going to get repaired. Somehow, perhaps. But that's a lot of money, right? That's a lot of money to tank away and have that happen behind your back, seemingly. All right, this isn't behind our back. It's happening right in front of our faces. You know, we talk about the border. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what particular crisis is going on. Immigration, illegal immigration, is, of course, a huge problem in the United States. And it's sad for the people who are trapped with babies in their arms, dropping furniture that they have carried over their back, a mattress that floats down the Rio Grande, or whatever it might be. I mean, I am not exaggerating. It is that bad when you have so many people who are desperate to just get out of Haiti, of course, which is a nightmare for so many reasons. The things that have happened just in the weather that has destroyed houses, etc., but also the political situation there. But sadly, of course, what's happening is there's no room. They're getting turned back. They're unfazed, though. They see what's happened. They see the deportations. They see that 6,000 people were booted out. And Del Rio is feeling the impact of what's going on there. You know, where can you comprehend? I'm not saying a few hundred. I'm saying thousands of people under a bridge, thousands of people crossing the Rio Grande to get into Del Rio, Texas. Desperate. I mean, they're under this international bridge, huddled. It's horrible. They're being crushed by old diapers and chicken bones and food containers and plastic bottles. So many Haitian refugees. They've got cardboard to use as beds. And they have little children, babies. And you know what? In Del Rio, it is an area where they're used to border traffic, right? There are workers that have come over and worked with residents for a long time. There is a history of that, but not the masses of humanity that are happening now. Not those masses. It's untenable. It is. Over the weekend, the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Protection closed the bridge that connects Del Rio to Mexico, adding yet another disruption to what would be daily life. So they can't make the trips for shopping or work or family visits or any of that. They can't because they had to do that. So they had to move things around. And it's tense. It is very tense. You've got state troopers. You have more people that have flooded back, you know, law enforcement types that have flooded down there because they can't keep up with it. They can't. Thousands have been able to enter because it has strained the border agents. So the state police had to barricade the border with their cars on Sunday. That's what they did. They just piled up their cars. They're making about 40 arrests a day, so then the local police are overwhelmed. The jails are overcrowded. And the town is a poor town. They don't have those kinds of dollars. They don't have the resources to deal with this. It's a river that divides the U.S. from Mexico, and it's a vulnerable area because they can't stop the surge. They can't. In fact, before you added in the Haitians, you had a razor wire chain link fence on one road because so many people complained that hundreds were crossing into their land. And on Saturday, construction workers added a barrier not far from the bridge where we're talking about. So a lot of problems are happening in this area. I mean, problems that aren't, hundreds are coming. No, thousands are coming, right? Lines and lines of cars piling up. That's how someone described it. There was a clerk at a gas station. I read this story about this clerk that was at the gas station, border one stop, just a few miles from the bridge, said, "Ooh, something's wrong. There's just lines and lines of cars, and I've never seen anything like it. People are frustrated. The unthinkable has happened. The port of entry sealed." I mean, it's biblical proportions. It's really, I've seen the video. It's a humanitarian crisis that has also, of course, divided the locals on the American side. So you have people protesting against the encampments, and then you have some people shouting impeach Biden and saying he's created this circus, and then you have others screaming out that we have to embrace people and everyone has a right to cross over. What? Oh, how would you like to be the mayor of Del Rio, who's gotten some national attention because of him talking about the big numbers that before were becoming impossible for the city? And now he's saying the city would overcome this, but they need everybody to do their part. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Just a little snapshot of what's happening in the USA. Nikki Deegan, she's got an interesting story. She's sharing it next.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Nikki Deegan is in our virtual green room, and boy, she has a way with words. She's written some really beautiful poetry, poetry that makes you think, makes you laugh, and it'll make you cry, honestly. And her book is the Nikki Deegan Poetry Collection. Nikki, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
So you and I talked off the air, and you mentioned that every poem, you know, comes from some experience that's happened in your life or something you've seen. It could be politics, it could be animals, it could be people. How long have you been writing poetry?
Since I'm like 14.
Wow. So since you were 14, you were jotting down all these thoughts on whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever. And, you know, like I say, I can only write anything if I get an inspiration. If I don't get an inspiration, I can't write anything.
Yeah, and you have such an interesting upbringing. You had people that ultimately helped you along the way. You had a career in real estate, like 24-year career in real estate. But what happened to you that changed your world when you were a kid and you were, like, grammar school age?
Well, when I was a child, I was brought up in foster homes. Horrible, horrible foster homes. And what changed my life was when I was in foster home since I was a year old till I was 14. And then I was in a foster home until I got out of school. And then they were going to place me in another home. So when I was going to the school, this Monsignor was crossing over to say mass. And he carried my books to the door because he said I was too skinny to carry the books to the eighth grade. And this went on for like 2 months. And And then he asked me 2 weeks before graduation, where are you going to school, high school, Mickey? I said, I don't even know where I'm going to live, so I don't know. So I said, I'm a foster kid, and I don't know where I'm going to be. So he said, oh, so the day of graduation, when handing my diploma, he said, are you your father here? I said, yes. He said, oh, I want to see you with him in the rectory after the ceremony. I said, okay. So he told my father he enrolled me in Our Lady of Mercy Academy. It's a boarding school for young ladies, which was wonderful because, you know, I had a place to stay also. So he asked my father if he could help, and he said no, he really couldn't financially. So he said, all right, we'll take care of it, which he did. They did, and it was the four best years of my life. It was wonderful. It changed my thinking and everything. And I don't know where I would have ended up if I didn't have that wonderful school. But I continued my poetry. And every poem I wrote, like I told you, Kate, was right from my heart. Not every one did I live. Not every poem did I live. I wrote a couple of romantic poems that I did not live. But I just wrote them, you know, for people. And but all most others I did live, like I said. And everything I wrote came right from my heart. And it's the way I feel, what I thought, and everything. So that's it.
You know, it's
and
interesting.
I enjoy doing it.
And it's interesting, you pull the poetry collection together. What did that mean for you to pull it all together? I mean, to have all of what you thought should be in there in this collection, was that pretty amazing to see it pulled together and published?
Yes, it was really wonderful, like I say. And well, when I was in school, in high school, I wrote a poem for the school paper every month. I had a poem in there. So it sort of got me a little, you know, naturalized to do what I had to do. So,
yeah. And then who knew? Then you pull this poetry collection together. Do you have a favorite poem or a favorite line from one of your poems?
I think my favorite poem is my very first poem, Living a Life.
Living a Life.
It's about life and what it's all about and the good and the bad. It says everything, and I think that's my favorite.
Living a Life. What's next for you, Mickey? Will you do another poetry book?
Well, I think so. I have 9 new poems written. New ones.
Right. So that's perfect. That could be the start of a new book. What do you hope people take away from reading your poetry?
Well, they're taking away things that I believe in and the way I feel. And I wonder if they'll get something out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, something they can walk away with, absolutely.
Exactly.
And that's the idea about poetry. Every poem that you wrote was from the heart, and then that is out there in the world. Mickey, always delightful to talk to you. You are certainly an inspiration. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So thanks to her once again, and wow, what a story. I love the ending of that story, you know, where she goes through some horrific situations and then comes out on the other end because somebody noticed. Speaking of noticing, a couple of big headlines that I think a lot of people are talking about, I know a lot of people are talking about, including this is pretty horrific. The White House really just got hammered at their briefing. Jen Psaki, who is the White House press secretary, following the decision to talk about the president's personal losses and grief, because she was responding to a question on the botched drone strike in Afghanistan that kind of got didn't get a lot of attention. It was terrible. It was revealed that the strike that was supposed to target ISIS-K terrorists following last month's terror attack actually killed 13 U.S. service members in Kabul, of course, instead killed 7 children and a bunch of other innocent victims. So it didn't hit its intended target. You know, so of course, that is horrific, and there's not much you can say to that. You just have to acknowledge that it's a significant, horrific accident, whatever. But I think in the case of the White House press secretary, she got caught up in trying to defend when this was being brought up, she kept trying to defend in a sense, or deflect, actually, not defend, deflect what had happened by using, you know, that Biden cares about humans and human life based on even what's happened in his own family, that he's seen loss, and his reaction is it's a tragedy. I mean, really, the answer is it's a tragedy. I mean, the government accidentally droned to death innocent victims, and this is the problem, and this is the this is the collateral damage that is constantly talked about. And when it happens, especially with what happened in Afghanistan, it just makes the situation, of course, that much worse. Speaking of that much worse, we should know on Tuesday if the body that was found over the weekend is that of Gabby Petito. Her fiance, Brian Landry, has been missing for a week. The parents of Petito's fiance have been questioned by the FBI. They searched the family home. They said he was off camping near the home at a reserve. They've combed all over the reserve. They can't seem to find him. This is a couple that was all over social media as they took to the road, and so they were, you know, putting out a lot of video and content and that kind of thing, and people got involved in their journey, and they were road tripping in a white van from New York through the American West this summer, posting regularly photos and stories to social media, and the hashtag van life, it became a big deal, and then poof, she's gone. And her story has become a national obsession for lots of people who are trying to figure out this online trail to solve the case. And, you know, of course, there are tens of thousands of missing persons stories that you don't even know much about, right? But part of that intense interest is because they had gained some fans on this journey, and there's just some very sad things about this. So pathologists are doing that full forensic exam of the remains they found Sunday to confirm the identity. If it is Petito, they believe it is, but they have to be sure of that. And they're looking for him, right? And the search is on, and he is missing. And there are some clues, but not the right clues so far at this point. Very sad, sad story. Stay with us.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Democratic congressional leaders say they will bring a bill forward that would suspend the debt limit and try to prevent a government shutdown. The House is scheduled to vote this week on legislation that would suspend that ceiling until 2022 and fund the government through December. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said Republicans could support a measure to fund the government past September 30th, but only if it was separate from a bill to raise the debt ceiling. In remarks on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican said his caucus would support a funding bill that includes disaster relief and targeted Afghan assistance, but not one to lift the debt ceiling. And major agricultural group New Cooperative announced that they've been hit by a ransomware attack. The Iowa Grain Cooperative said Monday that it had taken its computer networks down after receiving a $5.9 million ransom for their data from a cybercriminal group called Black Matter. The company says it's taking the attack very seriously, as 40% of the nation's grain production is run through its software. This is USA Radio News. Drug maker Pfizer says the initial data from its COVID vaccine trial on children aged 5 to 11 show that the vaccine was safe and effective for that age group. Pfizer says that they will ask the FDA for emergency use authorization once the trial is complete. Former acting director of the CDC, Dr. Richard Besser, tells ABC News that he's currently withholding judgment but is hopeful to have a pediatric vaccine soon.
I won't feel comfortable with the data until it's been reviewed by FDA and independent scientists, but I don't think we are going to get this pandemic under control until we have vaccines for all age groups. And you know, as a pediatrician, as a parent, I'm thankful that younger children do much better with this infection than older people. But that being said, there have been over 5 million cases in children, and currently there are about 300 hospitalizations in children every week. And so it's not something that we should trivialize in terms of the direct impact on kids. I'd be very excited to have a safe and effective vaccine I could recommend to my patients.
This is USA Radio News.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
A doctor is sued after he performed an abortion, and almost 226,000 COVID cases reported in kids just last week, according to one pediatrician group, something that I read about earlier in the day, double-checked and said, oh, okay. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, as we near the finish line of this show, some odds and ends. One of them is the San Antonio doctor who wrote a Washington post-op claiming he had violated Texas's six-week abortion ban, kind of outed himself and now tests the law. So what's happened here is the lawsuit was filed Monday by Oscar Stille, who's a former tax attorney in Arkansas. He's serving as a home confinement. He's serving a home confinement sentence for a federal conviction on tax crimes. But he filed the lawsuit against the doctor, Dr. Alan Braid, in Bexar County. So it's so interesting. Stille said he's an opponent of the law that bars most abortions in the state, but wants to clear the way for a judge to rule on its constitutionality. So he's not even trying to go after him. He said, I'm a super supporter of the Constitution, and I am opposed to the law. A second lawsuit was filed against Braid by Felipe Gomez, an Illinois resident who described himself as a pro-choice plaintiff in the suit. So now the lawsuits open up something very interesting in this legal tug of war around the 6-week abortion ban, which kicked in September 1st. So abortion rights advocates have so far failed to get a federal court to block the law. The ban supporters designed it specifically with the goal of evading judicial review. So you're not tasking government officials with enforcing the ban through criminal or regulatory punishments, I guess is the way to say that. The Texas state legislature, shockingly, because this surprised so many people, essentially deputized anybody, you, me, whoever, private citizens with the ability to bring private civil litigation in state courts against abortion providers or anyone else who facilitates an abortion that violates the law. Notice the lawyers in Arkansas and the other lawsuit that was filed by Gomez, he's an Illinois resident who is a pro-choice plaintiff. Wait and see what happens, because it's just a question of what's going to happen. And most legal analysts that I talk to are saying it's not a question of whether Dr. Braid is going to win the lawsuit. He most certainly will. It's how future lawsuits can be blocked, and that nothing that happens in the case can prevent future lawsuits from being brought. That's the whole point of transferring the enforcement authority from a single state to just a crazy limitless class of potential private plaintiffs. So it raised a few eyebrows. Does it hold up? Doubtful, but you never know, because as all of you probably know, once you go into court, anything can happen. So this is absolutely, with odds and ends, this is absolutely one to watch. And there doesn't seem to be any end in sight to this insidious, horrible COVID-19 infections that we're seeing, right? And it just depends on where you look, as whether it's risen or it's coming down. COVID-19 infections have contributed to, exponentially among kids across the U.S., and now it's 26% of all cases reported nationwide. So the American Academy of Pediatrics, they collect all this data, of course they do. They said the second highest total of new diagnoses among children over the course of the pandemic happened with that 225,000 plus, a slight decline from the week before when the cases were reported. So you're talking about studies that are underway for younger kids, but currently only children 12 and older can get inoculated at this point. And then it becomes, children, are they less likely to suffer serious disease? Here's what I would say. Having a child possibly on a ventilator would scare the bejesus out of me. And come on, all of you, grandparents, parents, But at least statistically we do know that, and I look at the science, I look at the numbers, I look where the numbers are coming from, and scientifically, or at least the numbers we have, the data, children are far less likely than adults to suffer serious disease or to die from COVID-19. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, sadly. It absolutely has. But it is not the norm. It is not the norm for that to happen. We're going to just continue to talk about that. I mean, we're just going to continue to have those numbers and look at those numbers, and it's going to be a question of what happens in the schools. Some schools want to go back. The ones that now are remote are hoping, fingers crossed, that they can go back. It's got to be tough. I mean, listen, learning on a screen day after day after day after day, and teachers trying to come up with every wham-bam thing they can possibly think of. I've talked to teachers. I've talked to students. It's tough. And parents, and even grandparents, have realized what the world has been like for the kids of all ages, middle school, younger, even younger than that, high schoolers. I know my nephew, that's how his senior year was, and at least he got part of a senior year, but then there was the disruption, and then the first year in college and learning that way, and they're back where he is in Southern Florida, and they're taking plenty of precautions, and they're leaving it up to students in some ways. And so far, you know, fingers crossed, they haven't had a lot of problems because Florida certainly is reporting lots and lots of cases. As many of you know, people are calling Florida ground zero for what now is happening, where so many cases have bubbled up because of what's happening in China. Stocks took a massive tumble on Monday, and that's the reason why. So the Dow and the broader U.S. stock market fell pretty sharp as the Chinese real estate conglomerate Evergrande's debt crisis made American investors very, very uncomfortable. In fact, it was the worst performance since May for the S&P and the NASDAQ. The Dow logged its worst day since July. And if you're listening to me and you're saying, what does that mean for me? Anybody listening that has a 401k, basket of stocks, what happens on the stock, it affects all of us. So bank and energy stocks were the worst. And Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, the worst performers. And of course, the Evergrande business was overwhelmingly centered in China. If you don't know what it is, they're struggling to manage their $300 billion mountain of debt that was supposed to pay the interest on some of its bank loans on Monday. The company will have to pay interest on two of its bonds worth more than $100 million later this week. Wow, $100 million. So shares of course, Evergrande fell more than 10% in Hong Kong. And you think, well, why do we care about what's happening in the Far East? Because everything is connected in the financial markets, and the giant chunk of money borrowed by Chinese companies has been considered a big threat to the market stability. So now investors fear the exposure that banks might have to this company and companies like it. It's going to lead to lots of crashes. So, you know, it's ironic. It comes on the 13th, it's hard to believe, 13th anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers, right? There's an anniversary to remember that's a dark day, a very, very dark, dark day. Yeah, so there were ripples felt across the, you know, market. Bitcoin, another risky asset class, if you want to call it that. I mean, it is an asset class, a risky asset class. It felt a little bit of a pinch, and it was down 7% around the time of the close, too, because you know how that can change as the yin and yang of the market. But it is important to watch the market because there's a lot of what it's forecasting and what's happening and what can happen in your world and my world. Hey, here's something. I just was talking to a couple of people that I work with about this. Have you noticed grocery prices? Grocery prices are through the roof. So when you go and you think you're picking up a couple of things, notice how much higher they are. It's just the open-ended question is, has food gotten expensive when you go and shop? Do you feel like food is going up? And the answer is yes. Expect to see higher prices in this last quarter because then maybe we'll get some relief because of the categories that we're looking at, the turbulence, the volatility, the unprecedented time that we're in. Food producers are struggling, my friends, with shortages, bottlenecks, transportation. All of that is big. There's in the supply chain, there's a breakdown. Labor woes, weather, that is what affects it. Inflation at the wholesale level climbed 8.3% last month from August of 2020. That's the biggest annual gain since the department started calculating that number in 2010. And then what happens? It's passed on to you and me. Our meat, our chicken, our fish, our eggs, they're up almost 6% over last year, over 15% from prices in August of 2019. Think about that, 15% over August of 2019. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported an additional overall food price increase of 0.4% in August compared with July. So the numbers aren't great. I mean, you see the Cisco trucks. You ever see those trucks when you're traveling on a turnpike, a highway, or wherever? One of the nation's biggest food distributors, they showed food inflation of 10.2% on their most recent quarterly report, and that tells you everything. Those increases are passed along to restaurants, to the restaurant customers. You get it. So there's going to be some adjustments, but expect to feel that pinch when you shop and when you go out and eat. That's it for Odds and Ends. Stay with us as we make the final turn on the show coming up.
Thank you.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Revish is in our virtual green room. He's an author, consultant, motivational speaker. What an interesting life he has led. We had a great off-air conversation where, you know, he talked about with me his service in the Army, and he talked about his love for kids, though, how he worked at Petersburg wastewater treatment plant, and he tested water samples and read meters, and then he started a volunteer program called School Watch in the St. Petersburg schools, and then he worked in an after school program called Achievers, and he's somebody who is so committed to encouraging young people. He also is the associate producer of Pull Your Pants Up Project and a video. It was a nationwide initiative designed to encourage young people to be responsible, accountable, and be prepared to meet and exceed the acceptable societal standards and rise above the norm. I love that, rise above the norm. And Virgil has a book called Vision, Going to the Next Level. Virgil, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So, and it's true, we had a great off-air conversation. You were just telling me about how you wanted to help young people. Was that, how did you get the love of wanting to do that and to take it to so many different levels?
Well, when I was growing up, my father, he was an advocate of education. And when my friends used to come around, he used to talk to us about education, talk to us about everyday life, about how to take care of yourself when you're growing up. And, you know, what crowd you mingle with, you know, you see some negativity around you, you just move on, you know. And those kind of things kind of was instilled in me. And then by having a mother and a father at home, I was blessed because back during that time, a lot of kids didn't have both parents at home. I had a roof over my head. I had clothing on my back. I never had to want for food or anything like that. So what my father did, he instilled a lot of things in me. And, you know, my father had a fifth grade education, but he sent all of us, it was seven of us, all of us to college.
Wow.
So my father, he worked for civil service, but, you know, we never had to want for anything. During that time, you know, it was hard times, but it didn't look like hard times during that time because we never had to want, but, you know, we were struggling just like everybody else.
Yeah, well, all seven kids to college, boy, that is something. And what he instilled in you and what your mother did, too. And so your book is really like a manual. It's a manual to show that there are options and opportunities and to help the person, the reader, through a planned kind of program to get to their destiny. Tell us about the manual.
Okay, the manual is about this young man. He was entering high school, and I knew his father. And so he was entering high school, and so he's a good athlete, and so he was getting ready to participate in football. But after 3 days after he had practiced, the coach came to him and told him he was ineligible. Reason being, he didn't really have the GPA, the grade point average. And then he was two grades behind on his core classes also. So that made him ineligible. So what I did, I got with him and his father. I said, what we need to do, we need to put a plan together for him. And then from that plan, if he get that plan together, then the next following year, he can start preparing what he had put in his plan. And so what he did, we put the plan together and a lot of things, you know, what he had to do. So he had to do a lot of things, but in order for him to increase on his academics, he improved his overall academics performance, improved his GPA by changing his study habits. He also worked consistently with a tutor in the area which he was also having problems in. He continued to work with conditioning his body to be physical. He also scheduled regular workouts with his football team, just like the 7-on-1. Mm-hmm. They did that, and they were real good in that. And so he also developed incorporated workout plan off-season. So what I'm saying by off-season, just like he had a workout plan, just like for the weightlifting, just like for the calisthenics and all like that. But this program, anyone could go through this program as long as they go by. It's just like a roadmap for them. The only thing I can work with you. I can get you to that next level. But the only thing you have to do, you have to prepare yourself. And so any kid, any parent that want to work with me, I'm there for them.
Yeah, how satisfying is it for you to work with families and work with kids? It has to be gratifying.
Yeah, some families you can work with, you know, you're not going to get 100%. But, you know, if I see a kid that has some potential, I will work with them because I see he has potential, but he just don't have the support. So what it is, this kid that received a scholarship from this program, that's what I did. I was his mentor for him mm-hmm. and his dad, for his parents. I also just showed him the roadmap. And so what he did, he kind of changed some of his study habits. He kind of changed some of the people whom he was hanging around with. And then they kind of gave him insight on just like gave him habits for successful. Those are things that I had put down. Those are habits of a successful student. The first thing you have to do, you have to be a forward thinker. The second thing you have to do, you have to study. The third thing you have to do, you have to find solutions. And I said the fourth thing you have to do, you have to set a schedule. And then always know how to ask questions for help. And the last thing that I have, I said you also need to stay fit and physical fit and also physical mentally. Those things right there carry you a long way in life. And so, you know, I just have these things to just share with the parents, share with the students. And my main projection is the middle school, because they are our future. We have to get them situated and have them focus on where they have to go in life, because once they leave middle school, that's when life begins for them. So what we have to do, we have to prepare them for what they need to do. We have to put a plan in place for them, but they have to work it. We also have to show them how to prepare that plan. In the last stage, everything that they have put in their plan and prepared, they have to start presenting now, because they have their roadmap. People see what they have done, and so people say, well, this person qualifies right here. And so that's what happens to this young man who received the scholarship. But, you know, he's working on his Ph.D. now. But the pandemic hit, so he dropped out. But he had one more semester before he did his Ph.D. But this past year, helped two more kids get in school, one at Norfolk State and one at Virginia State.
Ooh, all good schools, good schools. And, Virgil, you have a website. I want to make sure that I tell people that. It's virgilrevish.com, R-E-V-I-S-H.com, Virgil. And there you've got a blog, this place where you can order the book, and you talk about what we just talked about, identifying, defining some of the roads and the opportunities and the options, because everybody's options are different and everybody's plan would be different, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you talk about goal setting and the process and improving focus, and how important is that to improve the focus? I think that's everything.
Yes, I mean, because this young man, he was a mess at first, you know, but once he got himself together, he loved football, and then that was something that he loved and that he liked. So what he did, he growed up. I saw him a transition overnight. When he couldn't play, then he started putting his plan together. This is something that he's want. And you know, this young man, he has a group home now also.
Wow.
Yes,
so he was ambitious, and you helped stoke that fire. And I think that's the purpose of this. Again, Vision Going to the Next Level, virgilrevish.com. You can go there. All roads lead there to order the book. Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. Virgil, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I appreciate you having me this morning too, Kate, and thanks for everything. And you guys enjoy yourself and be safe.
Thank you. Thanks for the interview, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.